This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row, studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Oh, we're in mourning.
End of the season, Rog. I can't believe it.
I feel like the whole 38 weeks of the procedure, they're just one joyous, quite creative dream.
It was surreal at points, Rog.
Did Samuel Eto'o really play for Everton?
Yeah, he did.
Imagining it.
Oh, it feels so long ago. Was that this season?
Yes. He was 58. He's 59 now.
I thought it was way longer
ago. It's all just like in the glooming. We're just moving on. The football wheel always turns, David. Yeah. Always move. The title glory to which we have journeyed towards together like brothers.
It's over now. It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. Doesn't mean anything.
I know. We've been on the open top bus parade.
The ballads,
doesn't mean anything anymore.
The ballads that have been sung have already been forgotten.
Yeah.
For Chelsea, Davey.
Yeah. Is that your way of taking away, once again, any joy of winning the Premier League?
just thinking about life. I'll tell you who they will sing ballads about, Davey.
Who?
And who I'm also, I think, it's been a time of loss in general, not just in football, but in other aspects of my life which are less important and less consequential.
Yeah.
David Letterman.
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 Yeah. Love him, Rog.
Do you ever meet him?
Did I ever meet Letterman? I went to the show a few times with Regis Philbin, which were pretty amazing appearances. You know, Regis was, in some ways, his favourite guest. Went on the show just dozens and dozens and dozens of times and sort of loved him and beat up on him at exactly the same time. Knew a lot of people behind the scenes. Morty, my great friend Daniel Callison, worked on the show. But I always admired that show. That was, to some extent, the show that took me into late night, and certainly the show that influenced entire generation. Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was his 11th birthday party. He had a cake that said, "The Late Show with David Letterman." He had a David Letterman birthday cake when he was 11. He foresaw his entire future.
I had a Molly Ringwald cake. Some futures work out.
Yeah.
Others are cruelly dashed, David. I'll say, I've talked in the pod in the past that I used to subscribe to Rolling Stone as a kid, 11, 12-year-old, and it would be shipped over from America weeks later. It must have stopped off in like Iceland and Greenland, and I always imagined little planes shifting. It came weeks later. I never understood why. And I remember seeing him on the front cover of Rolling Stone, first time I encountered him, and I only knew him by the story, a feature that they wrote about him. It wasn't until I came here, I think the day that I landed or the day after I landed, it was a bizarre night in late night when Chevy Chase was kicking off on one channel, debuting. Arsenio Hall was debuting on another channel. Everyone had shifted around. It's the first time I'd ever seen him. And sadly, the Chevy Chase show didn't pan out. It was probably the most awful television I've seen apart from Men in Blazers, most awkward television.
Yeah.
But I grew to love Letterman. The most self-effacing, I mean, calls his stuff crap. He's also incredibly stoic. He may be, Dave, he may be the most English man to have ever been born in Indiana.
Yeah, and also there are things he did with television which now don't seem so revolutionary, which at the time were completely revolutionary. The top 10 list. That was something which feels like, oh, everybody does top 10 lists.
He invented the number 10.
Nobody
there was
really,
no 10 before.
Nobody ever really did them in a comedic sense, building in that kind of way and like bringing all areas of production, from the graphical production to the way he incorporates music and that band and the way that he sort of was able to time his delivery around all of these elements. So really beautifully done. And also when he put his mum on the show, that was just a massive thing. Also the way he broke comedians, he really took over from Carson as being the person who broke comedians on his show.
I feel very sad, Dave. I can't tell what sadness is about Letterman leaving and what sadness, profound sadness, is about the season being over. I always feel a second, Dave, the second the final whistle blows on the last day of the season. Absolutely bereft.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I feel tremendous relief that it's all over. I mean, it's like a World Cup. It gets very depressing in that final week because it's already slowed down so much. A Premier League season just builds and builds and builds. It almost just comes and comes and comes. Yes, the The league title was decided a few weeks ago, but still there was just a surplus of narrative still going on all the way until the final day, which we'll get into a lot of the stuff that happened this weekend.
I feel like I've lost the moon of my life.
I just can't.
My stars. I'm completely without my moorings.
I can't believe how soon it's all coming back, Rog.
Oh, God.
And we've got a whole summer of football, the Women's World Cup.
I think it's 68 days till the league, the Community Shield. I don't think I can wait that long.
We've got the UEFA Under-21s, Rog. We've got the Guinness International Champions
Cup.
We've got
the Under-20 World Cup.
Yeah.
Another big one.
Yeah.
The one that Manchester United are looking to defend.
Yeah.
I've got to read a poem, David.
You're going
to indulge me because it reflects. I wanted to represent to you how my inners feel today.
Okay, let's indulge your darkness, Rog.
The Mower by Philip Larkin.
Oh, no.
The mower stalled twice. Kneeling, I found a hedgehog jammed up against its blades. Killed, it had been in the long grass. I'd seen it before and even fed it once. Now I had mauled its unobtrusive world unmendably. Burial was no help. Next morning, I got up, and it did not. The first day after death, the new absence is always the same. We should be careful of each other. We should be kind while there is still time.
So the end of the Premier League season, and a dead hedgehog caught in a mower. I believe that's what he's trying to say.
I don't know. I don't know whether the hedgehog is the Premier League. Yeah. Or whether I'm the hedgehog.
It could be either. I think I'd be the lawnmower, Roger, in that scenario.
I'm not sure what to do with myself. I'm really not. Without the Premier League, we had a dry run this Saturday because there were no games at all.
Yeah.
And it was dark.
What did you do on Saturday?
I sat around.
Uh-huh.
Then I decided to do something proactive and I drank a Guinness.
Yeah.
And then I made some foot teams on FIFA. And then I watched it. I made a DVD that I watched several times. It's called Roger's Best of Season Ending Guard of Honours.
So many Guard of Honours.
Yeah.
So many Guard of Honours. I took a run around Boston Common, yeah. Rog, the weekend.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The most moving tribute for Memorial Day. Just fields of American flags all along Boston Common. Absolutely beautiful. And then went to dinner on Saturday night. Who comes in and sits in the table right next to us?
So I'll guess. Let me guess who it was. It couldn't be Philip Larkin because he's dead.
The hedgehog and the lawnmower.
Also
table
dead.
For three.
I would guess who sat by you. Was it Larry Bird?
No, close though. It was Daniel Sturridge, Rog. D-Studge.
Like Larry Bird, a former great professional athlete, a retired
professional
athlete.
In Boston, with his entourage, very small entourage, lovely, lovely
What's
young
men.
What's
the point of a small entourage?
All of them. They were all smalls, actually.
Who puts the chewing gum
into
his mouth?
No. They were literally smalls. I was saying small entourage. It was an entourage of smalls, Rog.
That's better.
Yeah, and lovely, lovely young men. Didn't interrupt them, didn't disturb them. Having a lovely dinner, being so respectful, so well-behaved. Lovely,
did you watch
lovely
to
guys.
See if he has
limped
a,
on the way out?
No, if he has a one of his entourage, just his only job is to pop chewing gum into these things.
Yeah, no, I know. We did talk about that.
By the way, if you don't have that, it's not truly a dictionary definition entourage.
Yeah,
he's a lovely bloke, actually, Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah, seems that way.
Working with him in Liverpool, but also seeing him around Liverpool, which he walks around, he lives right in the heart of the city and walks around it all the time.
Yeah,
is a truly wonderful
and
bloke.
God-fearing young man, Rog.
So was the hedgehog, David.
A God-fearing young hedgehog.
I'm working
as a Presbyterian.
I'm working on another documentary film that I'm making for my own enjoyment.
Okay.
It's called Premier League Players Take Lap of Honour with Crying Babies in Their Arms.
Does this include Skirtle?
Skirtles was a snack.
Or was that the turning point?
Skirtles wasn't one of his children. Okay. It was a snack. No, if you watch Giroud with his screaming, every Arsenal player took a child around, which may have been theirs or may have been a loner. Baby loner, but they were just screaming. It was one of the most depressing Guard of Honours of all time for a variety of different reasons. The honest truth was I spent the weekend on a turf farm in New Jersey watching thousands of young Americans play soccer at an amazing EDP tournament. Quite fascinating, David. About the summer, there is a lot of great football being played, some here, some in parts of the country I like to imagine we've already invaded, like Canada.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of it in New Zealand, they're playing the Under-20 World Cup. We've got Tab Ramos, the coach, coming on to talk a little bit about the US's chances in that team. But the Women's World Cup, David, Uh-huh. Am I alone? I imagine there should be more buzz. It should be more in the culture. It should be out there more. We should all be talking about it a lot more than we are.
I agree with you. And yet, I don't ever remember there being a lot of buzz about the Women's World Cup before the Women's World Cup has actually been played, including in 1999 when it was here and it obviously was huge, massive on television. I don't remember a lot of buzz. And remember, this is happening in little while events. The Olympics before 2012, everybody's saying, oh, NBC, I don't have a lot of buzz going on about the Olympics. Then the ratings were huge. I think the Winter Olympics were very, very similar, that people were taken aback by the size of the ratings when they thought they were going to be rather small.
Well, we have the wonderful Heather O'Reilly coming into the panic room to give us a couple of days out before the World Cup briefing.
Can't wait to meet her.
Huge, huge Heather O'Reilly fan. We also have launched, and there's about 250 left of our limited edition Mitchell & Ness victory kits. I mean, an exquisite.
God, I've got to get some. I've got to buy some before they all go, Roger.
We didn't put any aside.
We never put any aside.
By definition, limited edition. They are quite gorgeous. You can get them on MenInBlazers.com.
The work of both Mitchell and Ness, like I said before. These are two people who combine very, very well. We need to take notes.
Mitchell and Ness, divorce attorneys.
Wow.
NBC, David, it's got to be said.
Yeah.
They did give off a decent burial for the Premier League season.
Breakaway. Championship Sunday.
Memorial Rush. Day weekend, new American tradition. Squeaky bum Sunday.
Yeah. Well, no, it was excellent coverage. I mean, first of all, the studio, to have Kyle and the two Robbies crossing streams across Dame Rebecca Luhr.
I found that confusing. They had
two flanks.
If you didn't see it, they had four in the studio.
Yeah,
they had
four-man midfield.
They called up both Robbies and unleashing them on one side, which I thought was unfair, but unbalanced, having two Robbies on one side.
Yeah,
just
sensed
one
a lot of tension. Sometimes you sense a little bit of tension between the two Robbies, into Robbie tension.
Yeah.
But certainly when Kyle is on, it seems to unify the Robbies in the one thing they can both agree on. That they don't much like Kyle.
Yeah, the Robbies are like Sunnis and Shiites.
Yeah.
They're at each other's throats.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of the time. I find it distracting when they're
and
both.
Kyle
on.
Is like an Egyptian Christian in that scenario, Rod.
He's Coptic.
Yeah, he is.
I find, when they're both on, I spend the whole time not listening to the words coming out of their mouths.
Yeah.
I spend the whole time thinking, which one's my favourite Robbie? Which one's my favourite Robbie?
God, which one is your favourite Robbie?
Kyle.
See, I can't do that. I love both Robbies.
By the way, I do love them both.
I know.
I love them both.
I always think sometimes it's like watching a football game between two teams, neither of which you're very interested in. Like when Swansea plays Stoke. Actually, I know I quite like Swansea.
I love
bad example.
Both of those teams.
So, like when Stoke play
Chelsea
against. No, that would be a bad example too. If Stoke played. I like Aston Villa too. If Stoke. Really, whenever Stoke is playing, I really
Stoke
have.
Stoke played Hitler.
Stoke is the actually the definition of a team that I have no feelings, positive or negative,
I love
about.
Stoke.
Usually, so if I was watching Stoke play Stoke, the game would have to start before I would decide.
If Iran played Iraq.
Or one small European principality. If San Marino play against Liechtenstein, I don't have a lot of rooting interest.
That's some of the best night of my life in Liechtenstein.
But San Marino, you wait until the game starts and then you decide who you're rooting for. But when the Robbies start speaking, I can't ever get a rooting interest.
I've got to say, as a foursome, you realise the secret of NBC's coverage lies in the fact that it's basically a Sex and the City reboot.
Okay.
Rebecca Lowe, clearly Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, I was thinking she might be big.
I've got Kyle down as Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then I spent literally about 45 minutes trying to work out which Robbie's Miranda and which is Samantha.
Yeah.
Couldn't work it out.
That's interesting.
I meant to ask Rebecca when she came, actually.
Yeah. Very, very
We did
true.
Ask her Good what point. Your favourite Robbie is.
Yeah.
She told us, but I've forgotten.
Yeah.
They didn't just have... They had four pundits.
Yeah.
They had three in the booth.
Three in the booth at the KC, Rog. I didn't know they had booths that large KC.
It was like that Robert Downey Jr. movie about threesomes.
What? Two girls and a guy?
Two girls and a guy.
God, I haven't seen that in a long time, Rog.
I've got to say, Jamming Lee Dixon.
Yeah.
Graham Lesault.
Mm-hmm.
In there alongside Arlette.
Yeah.
What a trio.
Yeah.
What a trio. Handsome trio.
Yeah.
It's like watching the Bee Gees in cleats.
Yeah. So four in the studio, three in the field, Rog.
Yeah.
But more than that.
It was like Sam Neill and Bill ended, were coming back from Freaks and Geeks.
Coverage across 10 NBC networks. You know what? I work in the television business. I didn't realise that NBC had 10 and networks.
Yeah,
games across the far-flung empire.
I think they only keep the Esquire network going just so they have 10 networks for the Premier League to keep. Yeah.
I love some of the choices, though. Arsenal on Bravo, Rog.
Yep. Real Housewives of Arsenal on Bravo.
Yeah.
They love that for the nipples.
Yeah.
Dapper Tim Sherwood.
Uh-huh.
And Aston Villa on Esquire.
Yeah.
Liverpool's Brendan Rodgers found his true home.
Yep.
Sci-fi channel.
Three envelopes. The mystery of the three envelopes.
You loved Oxygen.
Oh, Oxygen. Yeah. Well, they had the Bad Girls Club, right, Rog?
They had Leicester and QPR. Raisins.
I know.
Julian Kesner tweeted us to say, Oxygen viewers still trying to figure out this new reality show about foxes and rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Ann Coulter didn't enjoy the coverage, Rog. Conservative commentator tweets out that on her beloved MSNBC, where she usually turns it on to troll their coverage from a liberal perspective, one would assume, politics. They're playing Man City versus Southampton, Rog.
Yeah, and she called it the platonic ideal of everything she hates.
Yeah.
Which is a great phrase to describe the emotions I feel when I turn on my television and Ann Coulter's face is on it.
Yeah, well, also, she's on Fox, of course, which, of course, are going to have the Women's World Cup. I wonder how she's going to feel about that.
I'm sure she'll love it.
Yeah.
I would have thought she'd love Southampton and what they've done, plucky.
Yeah, this is what the conservative soccer deniers. This is my one thing about conservative.
I'd put it in the singular.
No, there's more than one. The conservative soccer deniers, the neocon soccer deniers, and I know a few of them. What I don't understand is why they cannot just drop their neocon anti-soccer ideals for 1 second and get behind the US women's and US men's national team for a second. Be patriots.
For God's sake, yes. Be more patriotic, Coulter.
Yes.
That's all we're saying. Give peace a chance. Yeah. By the way, there's not soccer deniers at this point. There's one. And I tell you...
There's that writer for the Boston Herald.
The funniest person, that's Ann Coulter under a nom de plume. The funniest part of the Ann Coulter tweet, which I can't believe we're talking about to this extent, is that it got 24 retweets.
Yeah, I know.
24.
Went down well.
Well done, Colts.
Went down well.
Keep it up. We got a lot to get through.
We should get to the football. We got a packed show. We're going to relive a Premier League season finale that included squeaky bum time at the bottom of the table, as you said, Rog. Chelsea's coronation as champions and goodbyes to two Premier League legends, Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard.
We're
joined
Friedel.
By a man third in line to the British throne, just behind Princes William and Harry, Newcastle fan and YouTube star, the true Geordie. Let's crack open a Guinness, Rog, and get to the football. Oh. Wow, that was in special 3D sound. Lexi's face.
It's gone right down my armpit. to Newcastle survival.
Yeah.
To the late, great Steve Bruce.
And to the next season, Rog.
Come, please, God, come, put me out of my misery.
To winning another one. Okay, we are now 38/38 of the way through the Premier League season, Rog. That reduces to 19/19. It also reduces to 1/1. Rog, that means we're done. And as we entered the season's final weekend, the one major storyline the scriptwriters had yet to finish, the battle at the bottom of the table. Hull City, 2 points behind Newcastle, needed to do something their manager Steve Bruce had never done before to have any chance of Premier League survival. Skip the pre-match pie, Rog, and beat Manchester United. They also needed West Ham to get a result against Newcastle. However, it all went very wrong.
Yeah, you could tell it was going to go wrong from the very beginning, Davo.
Yeah.
Hull's motto for the day was dare to dream.
Yeah.
An odd motivational choice for a Steve Bruce-led team. 9 out of 10 of his dreams are pie-filled. Poor bloke. In the run-up to the game, I really felt for Steve Bruce. He'd never beaten United, 21 games, much banded around fact. But
the club he played for.
His lovable little tummy. It's such identity confusion.
Little tummy.
Newcastle-born bloke. He once managed Sunderland.
Yeah.
He now managed Hull. He was once Manchester United's captain.
Yeah.
The pressure on him must have been immense. I mean, Hull goalkeeper Steve Harper was asked about how Steve Bruce was handling himself. And he said, there's a realism, no airs and graces about Steve Bruce. He's got an everyday sort of homeliness.
That's nice.
It's exactly what I look for in a elite top-flight manager, an everyday sort of homeliness.
Well, look, they came out...
It makes it sound more like the English Premier League's version of Mrs. Patmore.
Yeah, very, very true. Well, they do have something in common.
Just busy myself for the baking.
But they started well, Hull. They came out with gusto, Rog, and they
Gusting.
Created chances.
The blind, desperate hope of a condemned inmate on death row filing their final plea for a stay of execution.
Yeah.
I mean, they charged at a sleepy United team with just an urgent vigour.
Mm-hmm.
That amazing two-minute swing in the first half. That I think if you look at it, I've watched it over and over. That is the thin margins on which Premier League survival or relegation ultimately fall. There were two offside goals.
And that save.
Fueled by blatant anti-jingoism. One involved Victor Valdes.
Anti-gingerism.
Yeah. So yeah. Much of it about. No one calls the Premier League on it, but I'm going to speak to Richard Scudamore.
Yeah.
I want it to be the campaign for the next season, David.
Yeah.
Say no to anti-gingerism.
Yeah. We lost a few gingies as Hull went down, Rod.
We did.
Yeah. We saved one with Newcastle, though.
It was...
Sophie's choice of pro-gingerism.
I want there to be a patch on the Premier League jersey.
Yeah.
You know how they had one for say no to racism?
Yeah.
They should have that.
Yeah, they should work on it.
Little gingy, little kind of emoji.
They should work on it.
But Victor Valdes, please make him Manchester United's first choice goalkeeper. I mean, he fumbled at crosses under pressure in a way that was reminiscent of a young David De Gea when he first arrived.
I'll be surprised if he is the starting goalkeeper for Manchester United.
Well, he did make one unbelievable wrist save reminiscent of David De Gea today, so there is some hope. And Steve Bruce, conditions of anguish. It was like watching Hunter's Club an old venerated elephant seal on the sideline, David.
Yeah.
You were watching the bit of the Newcastle game.
Yeah, Newcastle beat West Ham. I mean, that was a tense affair, but West Ham didn't really seem up for it early on. But Newcastle seemed to conspire to not convert chances and just mislay passes as they were going forward.
We had to cut video because we were doing the show on Sunday, day of, which we've not done. And JW put together the first half highlights of the Newcastle game, and they consisted 95% of just rather large, topless Newcastle fans in various shades of just absolute, complete and utter anguish. And I also loved how all the fans, both the whole game and at the Newcastle game, they were all listening to each other's game. And each shot they found was ever more antiquated kind of listening technology. It started off with an iPhone. And then they got the show to go. I swear he was listening to a Discman.
Yeah, boombox.
And then they cut back to Newcastle. And there was a guy, I think it was like an ear horn.
Gramophone record. Yeah, the whole thing.
We asked over Twitter how Newcastle fans were feeling. At Prada James described his first half feelings. He said, "I feel like my parachute isn't going to open, but I'm jumping anyhow." And among the spectators at the Newcastle game was Craven owner Mike Ashley, the Daniel Schneider of English sport, who chose this game to give a very rare interview in which he said he wasn't going to sell the club, Davo, until they brought home a trophy. I think he might be referring to the championship title.
Yeah, he'll win the Nobel Peace Prize, Rog, before they end up winning the Premier League, without any doubt whatsoever. But Newcastle, the game was turned, really, by one man. It's been an amazing story this season. Rog, Jonas Gutierrez, recovered from testicular cancer. It was his assist that led to Sissoko's powerful header. Fantastic finish.
He headed it home with the conviction of Chicago Blackhawks' Andrew Shaw. And as he ripped his shirt off and ran towards the bench, you just saw the camera capture thousands of Newcastle fans on that incredible tiered stadium that is St. James's Park. And they all just lost themselves. What a team. What a city. What footballing fandom. And all they've done is demonstrate and have a terribly dark season. But in that second, when Sissoko scored the goal, you realise what football means to that magnificent city. Also, what Mike Ashley has done to it as an evil owner. He's like Lord Business in the Lego movie. Let's take extra care to follow the instructions or you'll be put to sleep. And the fact that they survived is kind of fascinating. I'm very interested in their emotional state now. They seem to have won a battle, but they still very much have a war that's going on. News filtered through to the KC. Sad slow-mo Steve Bruce, my favourite kind of Steve Bruce. Watching him suffer in slow motion on the sideline. It was as beautiful from a human perspective as watching a flower bloom and die in fast motion photography. There was flickering moments for Hull when you thought they were going to score. But ultimately, when they created chances, they just couldn't take them. Abel Hernandez's air shot kind of sums up Hull's blank firing line. I mean, I think they brought him in for £10 million. Fellaini, the sending off, he saw red, a terrible blot on an otherwise career year for the tall man. But once the Sissoko goal went in, the suspense kind of evaporated from both games.
Yeah, and went even further when Jonas Gutierrez, hit a second in for Newcastle. Rod, deflection, but a fantastic goal caps an amazing comeback season for that man.
When he scored John Carver left the bench and screamed scream of a victor. For a second, I said on the show he looked transformed like Rachel Lee Cook at the end of She's All Out when she takes off her glasses, shakes down her hair. But then you realise that's the bloke who inherited a team that was safe in mid-table with half a season gone. He's the guy that's dropped them down the precipice of relegation.
Yeah, look, and I think that while there's no doubt I have a lot of sympathy for Newcastle fans and what's going on at their club and the owner Mike Ashley, but there's some more blame to be passed around at that club that goes beyond Mike Ashley, Rog. Okay, so the games end. Newcastle 2, West Ham 0. Hull City 0. Manchester United 0. Hull go down.
I've got to say, at the final whistle, and the NBC split the fans at Hull and the fans at Newcastle, and it was hard to tell for a second which team had just been relegated and which had stayed up. Hull fans were shattered. Newcastle's also seemed disgusted, unfurling their banners of anger and disgust. There's an incredible amount of work, an incredible amount of transformation that probably will not happen there, that needs to very badly. Hull started the season in the Europa League. They ended up in the Championship. At Squalmart said, "Farewell, Steve Bruce, a man who looks like Pat Summerall ate John Madden."
I know. So sad to see him go, Rog.
By the way, they worked out what it costs to be relegated now with the bumper new British television deal. It's relegation is now said to cost the team $70 million, though they will get $31 million in parachute payments to ease their drop. We should touch upon for a second another manager that we will say goodbye to, Sam Allardyce.
Yeah.
We're going to play the moment in which the British public were introduced to the fact that Sam had been fired. One of my favourite moments of the weekend.
Sam, as you know, the club have just released a statement saying they won't be renewing your contract.
I know that.
It's actually, you said earlier you're working on a new documentary. I'm working on a new TV series, a spin-off to Premier League Managers in Treatment. It's former Premier League Managers in Treatment, Rog. And the first question in Treatment always becomes, so, do you honestly think you quit or were you actually fired?
But Dave, that was the laugh of a man who just received a multi-million dollar payoff.
Yeah, an NDA. Yeah.
Six months ago, he was being kissed on the mouth by Russell Brand. After West Ham beat Man City 2-1, what strange black magic was in that kiss?
Things are on the way up, some might say.
We should also touch upon Manchester United, who are going to now look to strengthen. I guess that's the true test for Louis van Gaal after his year of Dutch triage, strengthening the squad for a season ahead in which there can be no excuses. All the papers now full of who will come in. Bastian Schweinsteiger is amongst those who are rumoured. If you're bored over the next 60 or so days, Google Van Gaal at United's end of season awards. It was quite a performance.
Yeah, the highlight. It's amazing. The comedy highlight of the season, which had many comedy highlights, Rog. And even in the Van Gaal highlight reel, this was a highlight, an amazing performance.
Yeah, the highlight was when he interjected such classic phrases during an 8-minute speech in which he reviewed the season. He shouted, "Hello, hello, pay attention to the manager," and then made the crowd clap a female saxophonist and then slapped poor club legend turned punch bag Ryan Giggs across the face, a gift which keeps on giving. Watch it over and over, this clip, preferably with your therapist close at hand. This morning on MUTV, Van Gaal gave another great interview. I think he's going to keep filling in my next
Thank you. Thank you.
They asked him what he thought of England. He said, "I'm going to start with a positive thing and then I'm going to say a negative thing. Let's start with the negative thing." He said, "The accommodation for the players to dress themselves to change in their club shirts are in the most stadiums not so good. And for the manager," you're going to have to explain this one to me, Davo. He said, "A lot of times I am sitting on the toilet, but not on the toilet to make something. But because there is no other place, that was for me. Was surprising."
Oh.
I've been thinking about that all
day.
He
has to sit on the toilet to change his shoes or to put on his extra long scarf. He doesn't have a seat especially assigned for the manager.
I think about
it. And he doesn't like making number one or two when he goes to a foreign football ground. He always does that at home, or he goes into a restaurant. He doesn't like doing it in somebody else's bathroom.
All day since you said that, I've been, and I'm sure this is why you said it, I've been imagining LVG on the toilet. Wearing a velvet robe.
In what for world we live?
Yeah, I'm sure it's got that
Bye.
Monographed on the robe. I'm sure the robe is open and untied. Ryan Giggs is standing by him, terrified, with a toilet roll ready to wipe. Jinky rings a bell and Ryan Giggs comes in afterwards.
Maybe.
He makes Ryan stand by him.
Maybe, it could happen.
And the Dutchman looks down anxiously and periodically screams, "What is this world twisted?" Mm-hmm. Think about it, Davey.
The thing I've been thinking a lot about Man United is I love taking a moment to survey the Premier League table at the end of the season, because we say at the beginning of the season that at the end of the season the Premier League table does not lie. Yes, there are bad calls, there are games that go against you and you might have deserved a result, but at the end of the season, after 38 games, the table rarely lies. Man United finished in fourth, behind Chelsea, behind Man City and behind Arsenal. And the reality is they are a good way behind those teams going into next season. They have to do a lot in this off-season, and as you said, there are going to be no excuses. It's going to be fascinating to see how they line up in the opening game. They will be lining up without Marouane Fellaini, though, one would say.
I saw your lips moving.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about LVG on the toilet.
That's all you can think about. Okay, at the other end of the table, Rog, Chelsea 3, Sunderland 1. After wrapping up the title 3 weeks ago, actually longer ago in hindsight, Chelsea are finally officially crowned champions in the Fat Tuesday of football games. After falling behind to a Stephen Fletcher goal, a Diego Costa penalty and two from Loic Remy give Chelsea their 26th league win of the season. They finished 8 points clear at the top, Rog.
I've got to say, genuinely lovely touch pre-game. Chelsea brought out their 05 championship team. Kudacini, Ferreira, Carvalho, Makélélé, Gallas, Jeremy, Smerting, Gudjonsson.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely fascinating in a team led by a man who understands symbolism, what kind of a message he was trying to sell to his team, his own team in the present at this time.
Yeah. Well, there is a sense of man management in every decision, every word that Mourinho says, every decision he makes, everything, and the minute planning that goes into it.
He doesn't talk a lot about toilet.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Or wings. Or
Chinese.
Or there's nothing in it to congratulate the saxophonist at the end of year bash, Rog. That wouldn't motivate in any way. It was good to see. I'd completely forgotten about Smertin, Rog. It was good to see him. He's just one of those players that you just forgot ever played for you.
But I've been trying to think why it happened. And this is a very transformative time at Chelsea. I think the message that's been communicated is victory in one season is fine. Now let's work out how to sustain it. At a time when the team was saying goodbye probably to two, you would say, I would say three club legends, Peter Cech, Didier Drogba, and the kind of Chelsea player career I like to see, Juan Cuadrado.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, let's talk about Drogba.
Yeah.
That was a farewell that was pre-planned.
Yeah.
Yet still bizarrely,
they gave him the captain's. They gave him the captain's armband.
Fair,
Rog, and obviously had some predecision to like trot him on for the first 20 minutes, and then
28 minutes
take him off.
They didn't really just take him off.
They carried him off, and gradually it seemed that it was going to be the entire team taking off, and then it just seemed the Ivorian is a big boy, and less and less and less of them seemed willing to go and do it. Ended up really falling to John Obi Mikel to do most of the heavy lifting.
Most impressive contribution this season.
Didn't know he could move that fast, Rog.
What a carry off. Anyone who's been to a bar mitzvah and thrown a bar mitzvah boy in the air will tell you the secret to carrying another human being is all about getting a good grip under the kneecap.
Yeah.
Chelsea didn't so much give Drogba a lift of honour. It was more like watching someone be medevaced off the field of a battlefield under conditions of enemy fire.
Yeah.
It's all slightly awkward. Interesting, from Drogba after the game, they asked him if he'd consider moving to Frank Lampard's new league, the MLS.
An MLS.
And he said, yep, of course. I like money. He didn't say that second half, but it's implied there.
He said, yes, of course, that's implied. Okay, got it.
But I'm going to take a few days, a few weeks to think about what is good for me next, which I translate to meaning I'd like money. Are you listening, Chicago Fire?
Yeah, look, I think that there are some... I think Drogba did actually score some crucial goals this season. Didn't score that much, didn't play that much, but he did score some fairly crucial goals. And he also, you saw in the post-match celebrations just how much he means to the rest of the squad. And I think it was a masterstroke for Mourinho, really, what he managed to... I think he gets a lot of credit for the performances he's got out of John Terry and for the total player that he's turning Eden Hazard into. But I think bringing Drogba back was an amazing source of inspiration for that squad this season.
You know, the trophy presentation, it was slightly eerie.
Yeah.
And Premier League match directors, I've got to say, need to sharpen the way they shoot what should be. I think in America, it's kind of a staple, the shots that you expect that we just didn't catch. This was all just bizarrely close-up confetti. Yeah. None of the emotion of release.
Yeah.
It was as if the vibe they were going for was an 11-year-old selfie.
Yeah, I remember this being way, way better. It was always shot from the point of view of the players walking up towards... Last time Chelsea won it, I remember the point of, following the point of view under Ancelotti, following the point of view of the players and the big wide shots and the sense of celebration. This was all shot bizarrely close up.
Yeah, my favourite shots probably... One of them was when Mourinho slapped the trophy's lid, a crown, on Didier Drogba, who lay with it crooked on his head and just kind of like lolled back in his Chelsea jersey.
Yeah.
The legend looking for a moment a little bit like Ivorian King Joffrey.
Yeah.
And then there was John Terry putting his arm around Obi Mikel and laughing together. I've been watching that one over and over. I've lip read it. And I think John Terry whispers into his ear, "We won the title and you were on the team." And then he laughs because Obi Mikel doesn't laugh. So whatever he whispered was not well received. Gary Cahill, though, Davey, doing the footballer trophy dance in which you jump up and down, split your hands up and down in front of you. But he did it absolutely alone and then expected others around him to join in. But they all just left him hanging and walked away.
He's the only northerner at the party, Roger.
He could either, at that point, just kind of walk away and pretend he didn't do it or just commit. And he chose the latter.
Oh, he committed. I respect him for that.
He's never looked more alone. It was also the most normal he's looked all season.
Yeah, well, it shows what happens when he's not on John Terry's leash being barked and told exactly where to go. He goes a little bit out of control.
Chelsea, David, they end the season having topped the table for a Premier League record 274 days. That's longer than most people are married nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They only lost 4 games in all competitions all season, deserving champions.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think there's some emergence of some very, very strong players. And looking into next season for Chelsea, Eden Hazard has just gone up another level. Anybody who watched that final game for Chelsea, he was just mesmerizing. John Terry remains the best central defender in the Premier League, played every single minute of this campaign. And in the system that they're playing, with Matic sitting in front of that back four, you know, you look at even their failures this season. Felipe Luis, who hasn't had a great season.
Steffi Graf.
So they brought him in to replace Ashley Cole. He hasn't really stepped up. And Cuadrado, who you mentioned earlier, who's certainly... Bring back Shirley.
Keep him.
And then the young players, Loftus-Cheek, Solanke, the quality of the young boys coming through at Chelsea, Christensen, who you saw play for a few minutes at the weekend. They've got so much strength. However, this is the question for Chelsea. And it's the first thing that Mourinho spoke about in the post-match press conference, is that the year when Chelsea won the Champions League, they finished 5th in the league. What Chelsea are going to be expected to do next year by their fans, by their owner, and by themselves, by their own standards, is compete for the Champions League and try and retain the Premier League trophy. That is a very hard thing to do, to fight that battle on two fronts in the Premier League as well as in Europe.
I think it's a fascinating time for Chelsea. They won the league at a canter, but let's be honest, it was a very poor league. Their own team are transitioning, legends departing. And the interesting question for Chelsea is this now going to be a time for strengthening? Who will arrive over the summer? Because Mourinho is going to move now from building, he's been building these last 2 years, to sustaining, which is a very different and quite complex task in the English Premier League. And to watch how he does that, who he elects to bring in, knowing that some of the moves last season were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Diego Costa,
Cesc Fabregas.
And then you look at the kind of revolving door. Cuadrado was a dead man walking before he arrived. Shirley didn't last.
Yeah.
And Salah, who was blossoming before he got there, was dead on arrival and is
now
blossoming
being a squad player,
again in the Serie A. That's going to be the fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Ahead. And perhaps it's going to be modified by the young players. Perhaps there are a couple of stars. This is a very attractive club for foreign stars to come and play for. Mourinho has a global reputation as a great manager. Not everybody's taste as a player, but I would say that the majority of world players want to go and play under Mourinho. They want to go and play in a winning system. And they probably look at the system that Chelsea play and think, I could sort of thrive there. I could thrive there.
Quick word of congratulations to Dick Advocaat at Sunderland.
Yeah.
When he took over the club in mid-March, they were 17th, 1 point above the drop zone. He's won 3 games and drawn 3 to save them. And I did love it. We both loved it when they secured Premier League status against Arsenal during midweek. And the Dutchman, known as the stoic little general, was in tears on the sideline. At the time, I thought he was crying because he'd been forced to watch a soulless game of football.
I thought he was crying because he'd signed a long-term contract at Sunderland.
But he explained afterwards, he said, my emotions came out when my friend and assistant, Bert van Lingen, wonder if he's Dutch, came over. He said, we've been together for 25 years. And he started crying. And then he whispered, let it go. Let it go. Oh, the Lord loves a man who cries, David.
Oh, that's
I love
so
even
good.
More a man who has to get his wife's permission over the summer to stay at his job.
Yeah. Well, also, I loved his new wardrobe for the game at the weekend. He went for dark denim, Rog. Black shirt, dark blazer, just looked fantastic.
Winning will do that to a person, David.
Winning. He could go through the whole Brodge thing. Young girlfriend, no wonder he's got to ask his wife's permission. It could be the young girlfriend could have his T3 done, Rog, lose 35 pounds, whole new wardrobe, lots of pointing, stubby little fingers.
That's probably one of your best segues ever.
I know. Stoke City 6, Liverpool 1. Stephen Gerrard's 710th and final game for Liverpool. Could be Brodge's final game for Liverpool. Sees his side smashed by the Potters at the Britannia. This is the team that nobody spoke about this season, even us very much. It was Gerrard who scored Liverpool's lone goal in the 70th minute, the 186th of his career, and without any doubt, the saddest goal of his entire career, Rog.
Just time to savour one final indignity in a season of indignities big and small for Steven Gerrard. Liverpool end the season with their worst ever Premier League defeat. First time they've conceded 6 goals in a league game since losing to Tottenham 7-2 in 1963. I've got the DVD of that game.
Wearing black, Rog. Wearing black.
Mazel tov to Mark Hughes. We don't think of him as an unassuming man. Those who followed his managerial career, he's had the most unassuming season of glory.
Yeah.
On a team that came ninth. We were talking to Rebecca Lowe when she came in.
And she said, the one manager who none of us have mentioned at all this season, I bet you can't think who it is. And we couldn't even think who it was. We went through every team until we finally went, oh no, Stoke, Mark Hughes.
We have cut no video of Mark
Not
Hughes.
Not a single piece of video all season. Check. We've cut video on every other manager in the league.
Mark Hughes is probably, if he cared about Men in Blazers, which he would not,
yeah,
but
he'd be
were
upset.
He to, in a hypothetical world, he'd probably be psyched
yeah.
not to be. He's the only manager
not,
we have not discussed.
I haven't even sent out a phone call to book him for Premier League managers in treatment. He's not even on my backup list right now, Rog.
David Blatt is on the backup list yeah. before Mark Hughes. By the way, I'm not sure what to blame for this loss other than the psychotropic lawnmower markings on the Britannia field, which were mesmerising for poor Martin Skrtel. It probably hurt Liverpool all the more that Liverpool rejects Charlie Adam, fantastic second half of the season, and Peter Crouch with his 47th headed goal of all time, David.
Yeah, he's the like most headers ever scored. He now holds the record for the most headers scored in the Premier
he's
League.
He's like a tall Tim Cahill. we're amongst the goal. But
tall English, non-Australian Tim Cahill.
Watching the game, it was like witnessing two S&M fetishist roleplay with Stoke dressing up as dominatrix Germany, Liverpool playing the submissive role of 2014 Brazil. What did you think of
I have this? No possible comment on that analogy,
You
Rog.
Told me to say
no,
that.
I have no...
I've not watched those
I
kinds
no
of vids.
I have no experience,
I
Rog,
couldn't have
that.
Come... I have not watched those kinds of vids, Dave. Are they yours?
I haven't even watched 50 Shades of Grey, Rog. And it's on pay-per-view on every aircraft I go. And it'd probably be a weepy movie for me. I'd probably cry through the whole thing.
Can I ask you, what was it like for you watching Steven Gerrard, a man who we both agree...
Yeah.
Is the midfielder, the like of which we will not see in the Premier League, a local boy devoted to a team, unbelievable footballer in his pomp, and remarkable art. But watching his face, Dave, as Stoke just thrashed 5 goals, cruel soccer gods, in the first half of his final game.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, he just stayed a third of a season too long, Brodge. And it just has been a very, very sad way for him to go out.
It was like watching Walt Whitman's poetry as a book on tape. O captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. There was a moment as he trudged back to the halfway line after Liverpool had let in the fourth or fifth, I can't remember, goal. And you just saw a moment when his mind suddenly dawned that LA Galaxy might actually be a step up in quality after what he's experienced this second half of the season. By the way, classy LA Galaxy, who put an ad, full page ad in Liverpool's local paper, The Echo, 10 years ago today, one night in Istanbul, referring to the great Champions League victory.
Yeah, the come from behind win.
A leader became a legend.
Solely motivated by Gerrard.
For the last 17 years, Liverpool has backed its loyal captain to the club that set an example from a city honoured to carry that legacy on. Thank you. From the LA Galaxy. Remarkable.
Very well done. Very well done. But look, I think ultimately, though it is sad to watch him go out like this, I don't think this is how he will be remembered. I don't think this is how, certainly Liverpool fans will remember Steven Gerrard. I don't think football in general will remember him like this.
I will. I'll be thinking for some time.
You're going to keep on reminding people.
I will
people.
Be thinking, what was Stevie G thinking when he went in at halftime? 5-0 down. I mean, I imagine Brendan Rodgers probably decided to use that halftime as an opportunity to read extracts from his forthcoming 24-volume autobiography, Volume 7, Young Brendan, The Early Years. But what was Stevie sitting there taking it all in, last Premier League game?
Maybe he's thinking, well, it's all going according to plan, lads. We're going to get the Brodge fired. Maybe this is his plan all along, to bring down the manager, to not have the manager who he evidently does not get along with very well, not have him outlast him at the club.
I was just amazed. I put money, actually, at the bookmakers on Stevie G going all Sylvester Stallone hatching victory and attempting to tunnel his way out of the showers. To freedom! I imagine that also Howard Beale, the network, came to mind. I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore. But you've got to credit him, David. He came back on, and what did he do?
Scored a goal, Rog.
The Stoke backline gave him what can only be described as an oddly timed guard of honour.
Yeah, yet another one.
Did you see them? They kind of stroll along. They kind of wave him through.
They clapped him a little.
As he dragged his tired old legs.
They were saying you'll never walk alone.
The defenders were carrying their
babies.
Except
in this instance.
They were carrying their babies in their arms, clapping the fans. And Stevie G dragged his tired old legs towards their goal. Mm-hmm. And then was roundly applauded by all the Stoke fans, which was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And for a second, you saw a glimmer of the old Stevie G return to his eyes. We only need 5 more goals. Let's get this back, lads.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a spectacular ending, Davey. Do you know it's his birthday, FA Cup final?
Yes, I do know, Rog, and they will not be playing in the FA Cup final on his birthday.
He merely floated away like George Clooney at the end of Gravity.
Yeah.
How did you expect him to go out? I did not expect it would be like this.
I don't know. I suppose I sort of would have hoped that he'd have had that great. I always wanted him to make it to the FA Cup final and have that day going out. But still, I stand by it. I don't think this is how he'll be remembered. Certainly not by Liverpool fans. I do think, though, this was a very remarkable game that will go down in the memory because I think it's going to change a lot at Liverpool. I think Sterling not playing is a significant moment. I think the Sterling saga has been handled appallingly.
Hot mess.
By both sides, Rog. And I think no one comes out of that looking good.
By the way, his agent, who announced this week £900,000 a week he wouldn't play for Liverpool in a city that is as working class and that loves its football as much as Liverpool, that's the quickest way to get your player, who I think Raheem Sterling could be the Adnan Januzaj of 2015, voted off the island. But the way Liverpool have handled it, also this whole nagging piece of flapping skin with Raheem Sterling makes them seem like a small club. It's always traditionally talked about Liverpool act and then announce.
Yeah.
This has been very public kind of humiliation for Liverpool. We'll talk about Brendan in a minute. I'll just say, when I thought of Stevie G's goodbye, I thought they put his body on a Viking longboat and then
set light to it.
And then everyone would congregate around in bearskins.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They probably
Including what's Skirtle doing?
Pushing, he's banging a drum with Wild Wolf on his head.
And a bearskin. Over his chest.
Everyone's in bearskins, David. Yeah.
And Jordan Ibe.
Jordan Ibe will be there.
Flanagan.
But he's teared the head off a cow and placed it over his own and is howling at the moon.
Including over his mole.
By the way, Brendan Rodgers was not invited.
Okay.
And they're going to kick this longboat out onto a beautiful moonless night, onto the still waters.
Ballo's there. Ballo's, what's Ballo
doing?
Well,
just when it gets... Just he's in a hot tub, quietly in the back.
About to emerge.
They have to shout, Ballo, can you keep the noise down, please, mate? We're doing something over here. Uh-huh. And then just at the last second, they push this away. And just before it's out of the range of an arrow.
Yeah. Fired by Coutinho or Hendo?
John Joe Shelvey.
Okay.
They bring him back. He always does
interesting. Interesting.
He's on top of a hilltop and he pulls back. And with unbelievable man strength, he pulls back that string thing. The sinew. It's made of cow sinew.
Yeah.
And then he just dips it in a light. Aims it up at this moon, which isn't there because it's moonless. But he lets it go anyway. And then it lands and suddenly the whole longboat is afloat. And then they throw on Raheem Sterling onto the burning.
Like marshmallow.
Yep.
That's how you thought it was going to happen.
That's how I was pretty bloody sure it was.
Okay, got it.
And then they'd all sail off into oblivion.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Brendan Rodgers?
Yeah, let's talk about Brendan Rodgers. He's not there. Where's Brendan?
Oh, in that thing I've just
in that
described.
Scenario. Yeah.
Brendan. They sent him the wrong address. They didn't want him turning up.
That's so funny. They told Wings.
They sent him address of the wrong crematorium.
Okay, got it.
He said after the game, he said, this is great. He said, we played much better in the second half.
Yeah. After going 5-0 down at the half.
He goes, but I always say it's easier when you're 5-0 down. Inadvertently sounding like a man who's got vast experience of being 5-0 down at half time. He's currently looking a bit bloody stupid. Because last season, I don't know if you remember, he talked about Tottenham. And he said last season, if you spend £100 million of the Gareth Bale money, you expect to be challenging for the league. That kind of bites a man in the bum after he's just spent £103 million. After the game, he said, if the owners want me to go, I go. But I still feel I have a lot to offer here. The man doesn't quite understand what being fired means.
Yeah, conflicting reports in the papers. Some papers feel that Fenway Sports Group aren't going to get rid of him. Some think that, you know, this is right out of their playbook. When you don't perform for that group, you get fired. It's going to be fascinating
to see, Rog.
If
the owners want me to go, I go. Is that him saying, if you fire me, I'm not going to barricade myself in my office?
See, I would have seen him
by all means necessary.
I would have seen him as a barricader.
I think he's either a barricader or he's a George Costanza. He's just going to keep turning up. Just going to keep turning up. Here's my message to FSG.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Because we need him.
What would we talk about if we can't discuss Brendan Sausage Fingers?
Yeah.
I'm really
we need it.
Should he be fired?
It's so tough for me to see. I feel like very often we put the preponderance of blame on owners first, then managers second, and not on the players. And I think the players deserve a lot of collective responsibility for what happened at Liverpool this season. They're obviously capable of getting great results and doing very well. They went through a run of games and they played very, very well. It's tough for me to say exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Also, we don't know exactly how much of his imprint is on every single one of those signings that was made. You know, certainly from my Being Liverpool experience, Rog, there's a sense watching that the Brodge wasn't behind every single move.
Transfer committee that was
going on. So I wonder, at times Liverpool have played scintillating football this season. Most of the time they haven't. They've certainly ended up points and points and points behind where they finished last season. And I think you've got to look at what the ambitions are for the club. Right now, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal are ahead of everyone. Man United are going to spend bucket loads of money to go and get back in contention. And I don't think Tottenham and Southampton are going away anywhere. I don't think they're going away. I don't think they're going to get worse either. And Liverpool are going to have to do something dramatic before next season.
He shouldn't be fired. But will he be fired? I think he could be, David. There's a price, a coach from the Bobby Valentine School of Coaching, a brilliant man with a self-destructive streak of arrogance, has got to pay. When you always make the story about you, your coaching tactical brilliance when you win, your man management, force Balotelli to mark on corners, you make yourself the number one target when things go badly. When total goals drop from 101 to 52 in a season, when only 10 are scored by strikers, and when the culture's so rotten in the locker room, post Steven Gerrard, a player who privately seethed at Rodgers over the course of his final season, you end up paying the iron price. At Peter Kovacs 1989 tweeted us and said, FSG, you don't cancel the best sitcom on TV after its funniest season. But you've got to compare the mood now after last season, the optimism, the momentum, the dreams last season, Davo.
Yeah.
At J. Hobson Howell said, The Brodge tonight, sitting in front of his own portrait with mood lighting and putting Charlene's I've Never Been to Me on repeat.
Look, the reality is it's in the first 15 seconds of his meeting with Fenway Sports Group, Rodge, he's going to immediately talk about Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge being injured. He's going to say, oh, I think it goes without saying that, I'm not even going to talk about Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge, but then he's going to go on. Those are the two massive things that affected their goal-scoring output this season.
And then FSG will say, you didn't go to Stevie Gerrard's Viking longboat immolation. I went to the crematorium. Yeah, there was no one there.
There was nothing going on at the crematorium, the Brodge. So I think that's going to be his defence, and that's probably where he's going to get another chance. But like you talked about Louis van Gaal, there is going to be no excuse next season. And not everyone can win the Premier League, Rog. Not everyone can get into Europe. Not everyone can even get into the Europa League, Rog.
Congratulations to Stoke City's Jeff Cameron on his new 3-year deal at the club. Yeah. The most prominent American outfielder in the Premier League.
Yeah. And Stoke City finishing, what, ninth in the Premier League at the end of the season. Well done to Stoke again. Rog, the team finishing second, Manchester City 2, Southampton 0. Steven Gerrard made the lonely walk to the tunnel at Stoke. Frank Lampard was hoisted into the air by his teammates. Lampard was named captain and scored for the 177th time in his final Premier League appearance, and his team won, most importantly, as in most of the games where he scored. Sergio Aguero also scored, taking his golden boot winning tally to 26. First time he's won a golden boot anywhere in the world. City finished the season with 6 straight wins in second place.
Sergio Aguero, 26 goals, also 8 assists in 33 Premier League appearances.
Yeah,
I'd say the quietest and least discussed golden boot of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, it's his best output at City. He's found the net 77 times in 118 league games.
Amazing.
Which is one goal every 1.5 appearances over the last 4 seasons. But sod him. We've not talked about him. Let's talk about Lamps again. You think about the English guy.
Yeah.
What a Lampard goal, Dave.
Yeah. It was a fantastic goal. It was like very quick reactions. It was the run into the box of yore, Roger, and with the ball just fired in at speed by James Milner. By the way, a goal conspired by two players who will not be at Manchester City next season. He manages to knock it in, opens his body, knocks it in.
His celebration, at which he points up to the sky to his departed and I think beloved
mother
one more time. It was odd to watch him in the colours of his once arch rival.
Rival. Maybe.
Rivalish. But I'd say, to me, the ending for Lampard has been, I'd say, different.
Yeah.
But it's also reinforced the quality that I really have always admired about him, which is his ultimate professionalism.
Yeah. And winning mentality. His desire to score goals in winning or point salvaging situations. Like, it's a typical way for him to go out, and the goal was scored in real style.
We paid tribute to him this time last year when he left the English Premier League. So we're not going to repeat
that. Let's do it again.
I'll just say he scored 20 goals or more for Chelsea for 5 seasons in a row, which is a remarkably consistent feat.
And he still looks like a top-level Premier League player.
He looks like a Manchester City legend.
Yeah.
I was blown away, by the way, at the end, that the City squad, and I have to respect them, that they've got the depth of squad and the boot strength just to lift, not just to lift Lamps up, but they also threw him in the air.
Yeah.
And caught
him. He went airborne.
It takes a squad to raise a child.
Yeah. They've all been working on the CrossFit, Rog.
He's enormous. I mean, the English muffin, we can't wait to have him over here. What a season for Southampton.
Yeah.
One that's thrilled their fans, and I'll say fans of any team who like to believe in the dream of small clubs cracking the top 4 cartel.
Yeah. They have to wait until the FA Cup final, Rog, to see if they've made it into the Europa League. I know, as you would say, the poisoned chalice. Remember, if Arsenal beat Aston Villa in the FA Cup final, Southampton will make it too.
And thanks for all your lovely feedback on the pod special we released last Thursday with Southampton chairman Ralph Kruger.
Yeah.
He was an amazing bloke. And I think it's a fascinating listen, not just for Southampton fans, but for any supporter who wants to understand whether it will be possible for a little team to ever dream of top 4 realities.
Yeah. Okay, Rog. Talking of little teams, Arsenal 4, West Brom 1. A Theo Walcott hat-trick and Jack Wilshere goal, wonder goal actually, see Arsene Wenger's men pass the baggies at the Emirates. Arsenal finish in third and avoid a Champions League qualifying game. That's another trophy for Arsene Wenger, Roger.
Theo Walcott will work for food.
Yeah.
Or for that new contract.
Yeah.
Motivated by his uncertain status, he scored 10 goals in his last 9 Premier League starts.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans seem to love the fact that by the time he played 40 minutes this season, he'd scored more goals than Mario Balotelli in the entire campaign. Couple of thunderous finishes. I love the way he and Jack Wilshere both ran and celebrated with the Arsenal physio as well they might. That really is the
story. Their best friend at the club.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be...
It's the person at the club they know the best.
It's their only friend.
Yeah.
What's interesting will be how Arsene Wenger handicaps their performances and whether he chooses to start them in next week's FA Cup final.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, look, notwithstanding Theo Walcott's new contract, I do think that his play for Arsenal at the end of the season is a very bright spot. He's someone that they're going to need next season if they're going to mount a real campaign.
Theo.
Everton 0, Tottenham 1, Roger. Fitting end to the season for Sir Harry of Kane, who headed home his 21st Premier League goal of this season. He finishes behind only Sergio Aguero in the Golden Boot race. Spurs leapfrog Liverpool to finish in 5th
Harry
place.
Kane, first goal for 383 minutes for him, but what a season he's had.
Yeah.
We may never see the like of an Englishman scoring like that in the Premier League again in our lifetimes.
It could be true. That's the sad thing.
Rebecca Lowe made him her man of the year on our show. And well, she might. He's won his team more points with his goals than any other player in the Premier League this season. Say for Everton, it was a nothing end to a nothing season.
Mm-hmm.
Last week marked the day that was 20 years since Everton last won a trophy. The FA Cup, which they won in 1995 against Manchester United. 1-0, a game I watched in a bar in Chicago. And I remember it, Dave, mostly for the semi-final, the FA Cup semi-final against Tottenham, which they won, was not on television here. And to listen to it, I've talked about this on the pod before, I had to phone my father. And in those days, long-distance calls were insanely, insanely expensive. And my dad held the phone by the radio for 90 minutes. Only saying that just to think how far football has come in this country since then. By the way, the Everton podcast, Folletonians, did a remarkable interview with Roberto Martinez where he talks about the season in his entirety. If you're an Everton fan, listen to it. It's a bit sad, is all I'll say.
Can't wait to talk to you, probably in an upcoming pod, about your hopes, your expectations, the things that have got to happen at Everton for you as a fan before next season.
I'm worried about relegation, that's all I'll say.
Rog. Okay, Palace 1, Swansea 0. Two of the bright spots of this season, Rog, as far as I'm concerned. Marouane Chamakh's 57th minute goal lifts Palace over the Swans. He's got a fine head of hair, Rog. Lifts Palace over the Swans at Selhurst Park. Since Alan Pardew took over, Palace have won 10 of 18 league games. They finish in 10th place, Rog. Swansea.
They were 18th when he took over after
amazing,
20 games.
Rog. And Swansea, Rog, finished 8th in the Premier League.
And they're not even English.
Yeah, Gary Monk, 18 months ago, Rog, he was playing as a centre-back. And now look at the managerial job
GGs
has done. Is he a strawberry blonde? Is he a ginger? I'm not sure he's full-on ginger.
Ginger.
I don't know. I think he's probably a guy who says, no, I'm a blonde, I'm not a ginger. The ginger denier, Rog. Okay, Leicester 5, QPR 1. This one was on oxygen, Rog. The Foxes finished the great escape with a flourish. Nigel Pearson's men won 7 of their last 9 to finish in 14th, 6 points clear of relegation. This, their end of season form, Rog, real evidence of how well men can play when they just fear having the crap kicked out of them by their manager. And then finally, Villa 0, Burnley 1. Rog, Burnley bow out of the Premier League. So sad. In style, behind a goal from the soon-to-be-departed, one assumes, Danny Ings.
Oh, I've savoured Tim Sherwood's lap of honour after Aston Villa narrowly avoided relegation. They've got the FA Cup final coming up this weekend. Tim Sherwood's been in all the press talking about it. He said, he was talking about how competitive he is. He said, all the players want to win 5-a-side games. He said, when I used to play, I actually wanted to kill people to win. And when he says it, you actually think he means it, and probably means that he's done it before. Like that guy in the HBO film. That's a bit Robert Durst-y.
Little Robert Durst-y.
When Sherwood says it, he probably doesn't mean I wanted to. He's saying I actually did kill people.
I did kill people. It's an admission.
He also said, I used to cry when I was a kid when I couldn't win. Yeah, we all did. He said, now I cry when I when we don't win, it hurts me. I will cry during the FA Cup final, whether Aston Villa win or lose. I've got a hanky. It's claret.
Oh, and not blue as well.
You had me at hanky. Yeah. I'm going to say from now on, Dave, I love a self-admitted male crier. It's what life is made of, emotion, feeling it deeply. I will support Tim Sherwood wherever he goes, win or lose.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the end of the Premier League season, Rog.
If the season was a book, it would probably be all the light we cannot see. Mm-hmm. An exquisite narrative plot with character development that just kind of fizzles right at the end.
Yeah.
Chelsea's little horses came of age. It was like a season was just like being at a little horse themed bar mitzvah. But no one really pushed them.
Yeah.
No one threatened them. City imploded in January. United had, it was like watching someone in rehab. Arsenal retained their status as beauty with a glass jaw. And Liverpool were like a Greek morality tale that involved overconfidence, wax wings, new teeth and flying too close to the sun. But who were the dominant characters? We've talked about it this season. It wasn't so much the players.
Oh, it was the managers, Rog, without a doubt. With the notable exception of Mark Hughes, it was the managers.
It was LVG, Wenger, Nigel Pearson, always the Brodge. And more than anyone, Jose Mourinho. When you look back and remember this year, in 10 years' time, Davey, you'll think of Mourinho and his successful return. They say you can't come home, but with his Jedi mind tricks, his Machiavellian politics, his man motivation ability, this is the season.
And tactical acumen. Playing a system, figuring out the system that works for his players rather than the system that he wants to play, devoid of the players. And this is a man who just has shifted the way he plays football depending on the strengths that he's got. And he just does it better than anyone, Rog.
And he's reaffirmed his status as a peerless winner.
Yep, and he will tell you about it. The MIB 11-foot contest winner, Rog. With the season officially over, it's time to announce our Men in Blazers 11 FIFA Ultimate Team. As you'll recall, we asked you to nominate players who entertained you the most over the course of the season, be it by their play or simply because of the script the EPL writers have lovingly crafted for them. Rog, you're going to read the team?
This would make an amazing team on EA Sports. Can't FIFA wait. In goal, massive thousands of nominations. Could only be Joe Hart.
Oh, crazy Joe Hart. Who else would you have in goal?
Back four.
Yeah.
Jack Colback.
Jack Coolback.
Hashtag we stand with gingies.
Do we have 11 Jack Coolbacks?
I wish we did, because the next player is John Terry.
Oh.
Playing alongside Phil Jagielka, David.
Oh, good. Well, they've played with each other for England. They play quite well with each other.
Branislav Ivanovic rounding off that back four.
Uh-huh.
And then in the midfield, Ashley Young.
Ashley Young.
John Joe Shelby.
Yeah.
Stevie G.
Yeah.
Poor Stevie. And Stephen Quinn, a better Stevie. Stevie Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a lot of nice gingy balance on that right hand side, and playing up front together. God, this is unstoppable. I'd want to leave here and go and play EA Sports FIFA with this front too. Up front, thousands of votes for this man. He was the biggest vote getter of any player from our listeners, Josie Altidore.
Brilliant.
And playing alongside him, Manchester United's Tyler Blackett.
Wow. Up front. That's amazing.
No one finishes better than him. The winner of the EA Sports Prize, which is going to be their entire foot team of a year, will actually probably be better even than ours, which is going to be released tomorrow, is at James Lewis, who voted, one of thousands that voted for Joe Hart.
Otherwise known as James Fuoco, Rog, he wrote to us via Twitter, "I have the goalkeeper for the Men in Blazers foot. It has to be crazy Joe Hart between his tunnel cams and blitzkrieg tank driver moustache. We will never forget that." Thank you so much and congratulations, James. Game of the weekend, Rog, or the long Memorial Day weekend. We now know our third new friend for next season in the Premier League. Norwich beat Middlesbrough, Rog, 2-0 yesterday in the Championship playoff final at Wembley. Great game. Behind goals from Cameron Jerome and Nathan Redmond. The victory is worth an estimated $200 million, Rog, thanks to the television and commercial money the Canaries will earn by playing in the Premier League next season. They went down, Rog, they came straight back up.
Congratulations to Norwich City for earning the right to be relegated next season.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-game build-up consisted of everyone bellying to everyone. Did you know this is the most lucrative game in football?
Yeah.
12-minute defensive slip by Ayala, the most costly defensive slip in football, and a casual finish for Cameron Giroux, the most lucrative casual finish in football. But 3 minutes later, Nathan Redmond, who's going to be quite tasty next season, doubled the lead. Middlesbrough's defending was very Premier League. Unfortunately, the Premier League team it resembled was Liverpool.
Yeah.
Michelle Redmond, Nathan's mother, tweeted immediately, OMG, saw my son score at Wembley. I can describe how I felt, but I nearly wet myself.
Mom, stay off social media.
We've all been there. This is called Tuesday afternoon for me. By the way, I'm fond of Norwich. They've got too many men named Bennett in their squad to be good, but I adore Wes Houlihan. He's like Stephen Quinn, but good. And Nathan Carmel. Not sure how Men in Blazers will explain Delia Smith next season if they have to. Is she the suboptimal Martha Stewart?
Yeah.
Well, how dare you? Delia's not dumb bird.
Yeah. No. She's not dumb bird. No, she's not dumb bird, but a very, very famous British television chef and obviously a huge backer of Norwich City, Rog. They also have a 33-year-old bald manager, Rog. We can't wait to welcome him to the Premier League.
Yeah, Alex Neil, the youngest manager in the Premier League, started the season as manager of Hamilton Academicals.
Yeah.
Led them to promotion in the Scottish Premier League.
Through sobriety.
730 fans watched his first game there. And he ended up by bringing up Norwich in front of 86,000.
At Wembley.
He's a man used to leading strugglers to triumph against all odds. And he's going to need to. There's few models of teams coming up that are as small as Norwich and being successful. You look at the Blackpools, the Oldhams, the Wiggins. Blackpool double relegation. Since they left the Premier League. When they came up in 2010, also via the playoffs, Brett Ormerod, one of their players, described it as like finding yourself on the moon without a spacesuit. We're going to need them to be good because we've lost Burnley, we've lost Steve Bruce, we've lost Sam Allardyce. I don't know what we're going to talk about next season, David.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, Rog. I think they play great football, though. I'm looking forward to seeing them play. Rog, okay, our guest today is someone we featured on the Men in Blazers TV show last week. Rog, a few minutes ago, you got to speak with the true Geordie.
Well, our guest today is a Newcastle fan of the highest order. He's turned his passion into a YouTube channel where his unique take on all things Toon have earned him quite the following. We welcome to the pod the only man who might enjoy Guinness more than us, deep sea diver, term football pundit Brian Davis, aka the true Geordie.
How's it going, mate?
Oh, how's it going for you after this weekend of weekends and Premier League survival secured? I'm amazed you're actually able to speak. I kind of imagined that you'd be lying on your couch, kind of covered in Guinness, absolutely hungover.
Well, that was the last 2 days, to be honest, mate. I'm happy to say I've fully recovered since then. But I am still on the couch. But yeah, mate, it's been amazing. I had a lot to drink, had a great party. Just relieved, so relieved. Like, I love covering Newcastle, the team I love, on my channel. And I cover all football for anyone who doesn't know. But the thought of next season, talking about we're playing the lesser teams and not taking on the Chelsea, the Manchester United, the Arsenal, it just really wouldn't have been anywhere near as fun.
Let's go back to the beginning, take us back, and to the basics. Can you describe to us, the American audience that have not set foot in Newcastle, can you describe what Newcastle is like as a city? And also, you've got to explain what a Geordie is. You're the true Geordie, but explain Geordie culture.
All right. Well, I think there was an American comedian, I forget the name of him now, but he's a Scottish man, he once described Newcastle as he basically said it makes Detroit look like the Hamptons. It's a working class city, a real working class city. And it's not an ugly city, it's a pretty city. There's a lot to do there. It's very famous for its nightlife. There's a lot of, you know, drinking gets done. And a Geordie, there's a lot of history behind it, you know, the supporters of King George. But basically, Geordies have got a very specific, broad English accent. And, you know, they're not people who bullshit, we don't mess around. I'd like to say most of us are real men. And we like to drink a lot of beer, we like to eat proper food, and, you know, men are men, women are women, and it's an old-fashioned city for the most part. We love our football. We are football-obsessed. In Newcastle, a lot of cities all over the world, you grow up in one city, you might support Manchester United, you might support Arsenal. In Newcastle, if you're born in Newcastle, you grow up in Newcastle, you're a Newcastle supporter, and there's pretty much nothing going to be done about it. If you don't like it, it's tough.
You said we like proper food. What is proper food, Brian?
I'm built like a powerlifter over there, like a sort of weightlifter, but I've got a bit of gravy on the meat, so to speak. And I'm not one for salads and that. I like a big steak and, you know, some mashed potatoes and some homely food, home cooked hearty food. And apparently America is pretty good for that sort of stuff.
We're very good at catering to those who are on the Steve Bruce diet, Brian.
Unlike Steve Bruce, I am proud to say I do go to a gym. So, you know, it's not all gravy. It's just some gravy over the meat.
In Newcastle, it's a city of diehard football fans by the thousand. Out of all of the thousands at Phil St. James's Park, how did you become the one true Geordie, your alter ego?
It was a real big accident, to be honest. One of my best friends passed away, and he was probably more Newcastle crazy than I was. And I went to his funeral, and his funeral was more about Newcastle than it was about him. It was about how much he loved Newcastle. So I come away from that funeral, and obviously I was very touched by it, and, you know, it made us think a lot about what football means to people. And not long after that, a certain player by the name of Niall Ranger, who considers himself a gangster, you know, you can get the kind of impression of the bloke I'm talking about. He really doesn't care as much about football as he does about his image of being, you know, a thug on the streets, for example. And he came out and he said, the fans, if you're going to boo and you're not going to cheer the team at all times, then don't bother turning up. Well, of course, we pay our money to go into that stadium, and I just lost a friend who worshipped the ground these footballers walk on. So for him to then turn around and tell the fans whether or not they can turn up to a game and what they should or shouldn't do, I just kind of wanted to lose my mind. So I recorded the most, like, raw, just totally unplanned video, just shouting at the camera, telling this guy what I thought of him, what he needs to do with his life, and him, he needs to realise that the fans, not the manager, not the players, not the strip, not the stadium, nothing, the fans are the football club. And it got like 100,000 views. And the title of the video was A True Geordie View on Niall Ranger. And then everybody started calling it True Geordie. So I just thought, you know what it is? I'm just going to put some views out about football in general, and I'll use that True Geordie. And it's just kind of took off from there, to be honest, mate.
So you were a diver on an oil rig, a deep sea diver. That's quite a life transition from deep sea diver on an oil rig to a beloved football pundit.
You know, I'm still at this. I love diving. I'm very much, I like pressure. I like being under pressure. And it's a thrilling job, but it's dangerous as well. But, you know, it takes a bit of bottle, but I like doing it, to be honest. It keeps us awake.
Well, talking about pressure, let's talk about your weekend you've just had. I want to go back to the beginning. Before the game against West Ham, did you sleep the night before the game?
To be honest, I had quite a few drinks the night before the game in order to help that happen, because I really and totally, after I think it was 9 defeats in 10 games, thought, we're going to lose against West Ham, and it's going to be down to Manchester United to beat Hull to save us. And I'm not a hater of Manchester United, but I've had a lot of banter with the fans over the years. But I just thought to myself, of all people from Newcastle to have to support, it would be someone who used to be a big rival of ours, typical. And I was just so worried. And really, when I looked at the game afterwards, after all was said and done, Hull was so unlucky not to get a win out of that game. So we could have quite easily gone down on the last day.
The morning of the game, where were you before kickoff? Can you describe what you did on the way to the game? Can you describe your mental state?
Well, I think it was sort of, well, there was nerves there, but the nerves kind of hit us right before the match. You start trying to convince yourself it's not going to happen. We're not going to go down, lads. It's all right. We're sitting down. Me and my mates were having a full English breakfast, as you do. Then we had a couple of early pints to try and settle the nerves. But that didn't work, so I had a few more early pints to try and settle the nerves. And then it really started kicking in as walking up to the stadium, as you know, it's on like a hill. So I'm walking up, and then I'm really panicking, like, this could be the last Premier League game I ever watch in the stadium, because you look at teams like Leeds United, who used to be a very big club, Blackpool have went down, teams that have just went down and you thought they'd come back up, Blackburn, Premier League champions at one point, and they've just never come back up. And I'm thinking, are we the next Blackburn, that whole game, I can honestly say, apart from the goals, I hated every single minute. Like, it was like the worst roller coaster of your life.
When Rivière whiffed, it was a Yann-Mac cross, wasn't it? 3-4 yards yeah. out, just completely whiffed. I'll admit, my mind did wonder what the true Geordie was experiencing in the stands.
I mean, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to curse on this show.
But, just let it go. Let it all out.
I just said, you useless sack of Like, I'm laughing now, but I was raging. Like, the blood vessels to the brain were pumping. I was thinking, you useless We paid $5 million for him, and he can't even kick the ball, let alone score.
Five million doesn't buy you a lot nowadays, Brian, let's be honest. But the goal, the release of the goal. I mean, can you just talk us through that? What did you experience then? Probably same language, different tone, I imagine.
Well, actually, I'm not one for dancing, but I think I was backflipping at one point, or at least a really bad cartwheel, like up and down the terraces. I couldn't believe it. I just didn't think we were going to score, even when it happened. As much as I knew it could happen, I just couldn't believe me. I was dancing up and down, jumping up and down, screaming in the mates' faces. I mean, it was just, I spilled me beer, I think, over everybody around us. It was one of the best moments ever, and I'll never forget it, mate.
Was it shirt on or shirt off?
I had my shirt on, but that was only because there was women and children around, and I didn't want to frighten anybody.
Oh, the Jonas Gutierrez goal. You said, I think, on your YouTube video, post-game, you said he'll never need to buy a beer in Newcastle again.
Never. And, you know, I think everybody can empathise with anyone who's gone through a life-threatening illness. But he was told by Alan Pardew when he came back to find another club. He was left out in the cold. He was even rumoured to have been told, you know, we're not helping you with your medical expenses. You know, he was really treated badly. And then for him to be treated so badly and still persevere, work his way back into the side, and then play on the final day of the season and be the difference, after being the difference in his own life, then be the difference between our survival, it's just, you couldn't write it. It's that amazing.
What was your mood at the final whistle?
I just can't even describe it. I was so relieved, so relieved.
If we were to play word association, Brian, and I were to say the words Mike Ashley, what's the first thing that would come to your mind?
Fat Cockney bastard would be the first three. And it's nothing against Cockneys, but that's what he's known as up here. He really has just done the complete wrong thing from the get-go. He's employed the worst possible people. He's sold my best player time and time again. And he came out before the game and he said, all right, now we're going to start buying players and now we want to win things. And I was like, you know, it's too little too late. We're about to get relegated. Are you taking the piss?
Brian, what needs to change? If we were to take over the club tomorrow and I said, Brian, three succinct changes you would make at Newcastle to put this club back into the place it needs to be within your city. What are those changes?
Well, I think I'm a big believer in getting a manager in with a vision. Pardew never really had a vision. It was just let's scrape by as best we can. John Carver, I mean, I don't think he's got any vision, let alone our vision. I mean, the bloke couldn't see two foot in front of him. He's the dumbest guy I've ever seen in a managerial position. And I think he recently came out and said there, well, I'd like a win, but 3 points would be even better. I thought, well, they're not mutually exclusive, mate. So a good manager would be a great start. I know, you know, we're being rumoured with getting Steve McLaren and people like that, and I'm thinking, God, like, you know, if Liverpool, for example, got rid of Brendan Rodgers, he is someone who I would look at and think, all right, he's not perfect, but we're not going to get a perfect manager. We're Newcastle United. Somebody who's, like, attacking football, good attacking philosophy, the fans will get behind that straight away. I want a manager. You know how America played in the World Cup. For me, America didn't have the talent of other teams. They didn't have the talent, arguably, of even England. But they were so much... I want a team like that who's going to go out and fight and attack. And Newcastle, that is what we should do. And maybe the Brendan Rodgers would bring that. I don't know. Somebody like that would be ideal.
Oh, I've got to tell you, I love that notion. I love the notion of the two coming together. It would be like Jonathan and Jennifer Hart. It would be absolutely true love. I've got to give you some candid feedback. We've seen also Newcastle, they love protesting. Sackpardew.com, ashleyout.com. You're not very good at protesting, though. When you chant fat bastard at Mike Ashley and 75% of the audience at St. James's Park fall into the mammal category of fat bastard, it's a bit non-specific.
Well, the thing is, you caught me fat bastard, I think, is sort of... We're trying to get the message across, but I take your point.
Looking back on this season, the highs and lows, at the end of the day, is it what matters about football fandom, not the winning, but just the extreme emotions, feeling alive?
Well, I can honestly say, and people who watch the YouTube channel will know what I've gone through this season, because it's been a roller coaster, and that very last day was just the icing and the cherry on top of the cake, well and truly. I wouldn't swap it. I wouldn't, even as bad as it's been, and Newcastle have been hands down, there's nobody been worse than Newcastle in the Premier League this season. I wouldn't swap it for anything, because that's what football's all about. And I honestly, genuinely, 100% believe that people who do support the Manchester United, the Arsenals, the Chelsea, all the best teams, you know, yet Man United had the odd blip. Chelsea will have the odd season where they don't win anything. But on the whole, they're always going to be successful. They're really missing out on the full spectrum of what being bad at football has to offer. Because honestly, nobody in the Premier League all season will have celebrated like the Newcastle fans did when Gerard Gutierrez scored that last goal. Even Chelsea, who won the Premier League. So I do think there's something to be said if there's anyone out there who isn't, you know, maybe I shouldn't support Newcastle. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but you might enjoy some bits of it, you know?
Last question for you. I've been watching your YouTube channel, and I know I'm not alone. I think you are much bigger in America over the past couple of weeks than you could ever imagine. But you, on one of the videos, you say if you could invite three people to have a beer with you, it would be 50 Cent, Ricky Gervais, and Jordan Belfort, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wall Street. Did you watch the second half of the Wolf of Wall Street? Because it was a bit like watching Newcastle under John Carver, Brent.
I think I actually watched a little bit more of these interviews lately. I think I might have to take that back. maybe I'll swap him for Russell Brand, because I think I'd have a bit more of a laugh with him in retrospect. But yeah, I'm a big fan of America in general, mate. I absolutely love the culture. I love the movies. I love the food. I'll definitely be heading over there, definitely, very shortly, because... It's time for the true Geordie to meet some true Americans, you know. It's going to be a good laugh.
We can't wait to have you here. And if you get passport, if you get through passport security successfully, we will welcome you into the Panic Room. We wish you a great summer off and are looking forward to more offerings from the true Geordie on YouTube next season. Thanks for being with us, Brian.
My pleasure, mate. I'll be doing all the transfers updates and that all summer as well. So really appreciate you having us on, buddy, and... thanks a lot.
What a character, Rog.
What an amazing... To go from deep sea diving on oil rigs to being a football pundit. He's living our lives in reverse.
Yes, what? Are we going to end up doing that?
Speak to you after.
Okay. Our first Raven, Rog, is from Will Belkey. Really enjoy the Premier League. Do you think the lack of a playoff format will limit American interest? Season ending quietly. This is something I reject every year, the notion. I almost become appalled by the idea when, you know, certain pundits talk about, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to have playoffs? And at the same time, I do think about how entertaining and brilliant and amazing they would be. Rog, just look at the top eight teams in the Premier League this year. Putting those into playoffs against each other, seeded playoffs, would have just been amazing.
Yeah, but this was, I'd say, a very un-American end to the season. Mm-hmm. The title was decided weeks ago. Teams were blown out right at the end. And for the last few weeks, the focus was just on the crappiest teams in the league. It's what everyone was obsessed about. But it's what we're used to. I think the beauty of the Premier League is that it is a marathon. What I hate is the short-termism. Brendan Rodgers is a genius. He's a fool who should be fired. He's a genius. 13 so matches right. unbeaten. And now he's a buffoon again. I love the thrill of the chase. And if you think about it, the Champions League, which is a compliment to the Premier League marathon, that's the playoff, the elite playoff that kind of pace alongside the arc of the Premier League campaign. We still have the final to come.
And also, I think what the Premier League loses because of drama against playoff hockey, which is so great right now, playoff basketball, which is so amazing, is it means that the regular season, which is the entire Premier League season, has a lot more value than the regular seasons in those sports.
And if you want every elite knockout soccer,
yeah,
we've got the Guinness Invitational Cup.
Yeah, GICC, Rod, coming up this summer. The winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers poet, philosopher, Saka scribe, Raven O the Week, Rod, is Owen from London, but he's living in Toronto. As the Premier League season stumbles shambolically towards its conclusion, and commentators and journalists roll out the cliche of footballers already being away on their holidays, it got me thinking about what destinations some of the Premier League's finest do go to on their holidays. And also, if you could tag along with any Premiership player, who would it be and where would they be going? For example, would it be with Phil Jones and Wayne Rooney as they enjoy a week on the lash in Ibiza clubs?
I love the lash.
Or maybe you would want to bask in the sunshine of a southern French beach town as Olivier Giroud's wingman, hoping some of his smouldering handsomeness rubbed off on you. Or maybe a tour of Madrid with Harry Kane as he ponders living life in Spain's capital next year. Keep up the suboptimal work, gents. GFOP, Owen.
Oh, it's such a
Where
good
would you
question.
Like to go well, with whom?
Such
Rog?
A timely. Because I'm anxious about the ending of the league, I've been yeah. having really odd dreams this week. I had one dream where I went on a tour of the Talisker distillery in the Isle of Skye.
I bought some Talisker this weekend.
It's my drink with David Silver and Vincent Company.
Yeah.
We talked about life. And then last night, Dave,
this
was really odd. I went on a road trip across America with the members of Haim.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We got as far as Mississippi and then we
Interesting. That's a long dream. So it's a long way to Mississippi, Rod.
They were such great company. Where would you go?
I don't know. I would love to be with one of those players who's maybe going on their holes to America for the first time. Premier League footballers probably love three places in America. They love Miami Beach. They love New York City. And they love Los Angeles, Rog.
Vegas.
Perhaps Nathan Redmond on a tour of all three of those cities would be wonderful.
With Nathan Redmond's mum and her continents for them.
Yeah, fine. I'll bring Michelle along.
Here's what I'd do. I've thought about this. Two choices.
Yeah.
Number one, I'd go to Tokyo with Juan Mata.
Yeah.
Stroll around Shimotsukiwaza and Nakameguro.
Yeah.
Looking for sneakers.
Yeah.
Or my dream holiday, David, would be with you.
Yeah.
Touring the D-Day beaches of Normandy in the company of Laurent Koscielny and Per Mertesacker. Two Englishmen, a Frenchman and a German. I think it would help the healing
the
process.
The German cemeteries are meant to be beautiful.
We might get to them.
but we probably won't.
I think it will, whatever we do will help the healing process. Mine, not our nation's.
Okay, good. So it's all about you. Okay, I'll come. I'd love to go to Northern France with you, Rog.
It's all about you, says the man who included you in my trip.
And then said,
you didn't invite,
and then said it's only about you.
You didn't invite me to Nathan Redmond when you went away with Nathan Redmond and his mum.
Rog, if I was coming with Nathan Redmond, do you think you wouldn't be the first person I'd ask out? Who's going to wipe up her pee?
Better.
Okay, Rog, your weekend looks like this. There's still lots of football. The FA Cup final, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. That's noon Eastern time Saturday on the Fox Network. Oh, Ann Coulter won't like that. The UN's women's national team versus South Korea, Rog, from Red Bull Arena, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time Saturday on ESPN.
Come on, Heather O'Reilly.
Yes. In an MLS, the New England Revolution versus LA Galaxy, preparing for the arrival of Gerrard. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday on Fox Sports 1. There are many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium.
Not a television show.
Helps. No, not anymore.
No, it's done. It's
probably cancelled, which helps keep the show going. And NBC certainly haven't called us today.
No. Nope.
It's worrying.
No. Nope.
Anytime you go on Amazon, we might have to start a campaign, Rog, to keep our show on the air. Shall we start a campaign to keep the Men in Blazers show on the air?
Off the air.
Yeah, maybe off
Probably
the air. That's
be a
it.
More successful
Let's do
campaign.
That. Let's have a campaign to get Men in Blazers show off the air.
If the show is finished.
Actually, that might backfire.
If the show is finished,
Yeah.
Which it might well be.
Probably.
Probably. I mean, if they're rational.
Yeah.
Can we just thank Jen Simone?
Jen Simons.
Jen Simone.
Definitely.
Our producer.
Yeah.
She also thank Lexi Tannerholt.
Yeah.
Anything that in the show had emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Came from Lexi.
Yeah.
And also want to thank JW.
Ipswich fan John Williamson.
In mourning today about Norwich.
Yeah.
But anything professional.
Yeah.
Or thoughtful. Or meaningful.
Yeah.
In that show came from him normally. Yeah.
Very true. Also Arthur, Colmar, Alan, our technical staff, our editorial staff, and David Ziplow, who came from his hospital bed to help us with the show, Rog.
Only when you demanded he leave.
I know. Well, I mean, work comes first, Rog.
As
you
know.
How do you think I got to where I am today? There are many other ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon for items big or small, just click off the Emporium page. Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. Which book are you putting in the Amazon Emporium this week, Rog?
Oh, it was Memorial Day this weekend. Yeah. A day to remember for me, service members who've given their lives for this wondrous country,
yeah,
and their families who've suffered irreparable loss.
Yeah,
I spent the weekend with a book called Dear America, Letters Home from Vietnam, edited by Bernard Edelman. And it's a haunting collection built from an avalanche of material that he amassed from servicemen and women who served over there. It's a meditation about life and death and those who stepped up to serve and sacrifice, and it is magical.
Good, Rog. Beautiful. I'm in the market, Rog, for a juicer. Cooked chicken tagine over the weekend. You know, I went to that Balbusta restaurant.
I love Balbusta.
In the Israeli restaurant in the in Nolita, Rog. Bought their cookbook. And
is that a technically diasporic restaurant?
This weekend, decided to try making the Balbusta chicken tagine. Went and bought all the ingredients.
Yep.
Started making a tagine. I love a tagine, yep. Rog.
Oh, you love tagine. You love a good tagine.
Looked at the ingredients, saw the oranges, went and bought the oranges. Well, actually bought one orange. It only said one orange. And then bought it back. And, of course, then started reading the instructions, Rog. And you had to juice the orange. I don't own an orange juicer.
You don't own a Robert Downey juicer?
So I had to juice it with my bare hands, Rog. And the problem is you don't get as much juice out as you really need. So I had to fill it up with water. The tagine was good, but I think it would have been better if I'd had the full cup of orange juice, not the lame little quarter to a third of a cup topped up with water. So I'm in the market for a juicer. The juicer that's caught my eye, actually Lexi's helped me find this, is the Jamba Appliances Citrus Juicer Black. This looks like something out of the Star Wars movie that they possessed on the Death Star. This is how Lord Vader would have juiced an orange without any doubt, Rog. This orange juicer that Lexi has researched for me costs $149, Rog. I was looking for just one of those little ones that you just like put on top of the thing, a little bit of plastic, as my mother would call it. But the Jamba Appliances Citrus Juicer, this can do a job, Rog. Will certainly help my chicken tagine next time.
It's the Roman Abramovich of juicers.
It really is. And the Diego Costa of juicers all combined. Into
as I said, anything in the show that had emotional intelligence was the work of Lexi Tannerholt.
Yeah, when I questioned her about it before, she did say that's sort of on brand for you, Davo. Okay, Rog, we recently released Men in Blazers Unbuttoned. Now that's what I call Suboptimal Volume 2, the best of 2014 on iTunes, Amazon and Google Play. It's the most suboptimal moments from a year in which Liverpool nearly won the league, the USA nearly won the World Cup. Have a listen and then a sad nap. And check out our Spotify account, Men_in_Blazers. Our next mixtape, Men in Blazers Women's World Cup Edition, comes out in our newsletter. We're going to have to talk about what we're going to put on the track list, Rog.
There may be some T. Chapman being unleashed. Some good pump-up music, Tracy Chapman's debut album.
Yeah. Can't think. I'm going through a very quiet music, listening to a lot of Bill Evans right now, Rog. So I feel like I've got to get back in the pump-up mode for the Women's World Cup.
A lot of Otis Redding. Recently,
I accidentally listened to the Pitbull channel on Sirius XM driving back from Boston, and then I couldn't turn it off.
So that's like saying I accidentally put my undercarriage into a live socket.
The Pitbull channel, when you're on a long drive and you're trying to stay awake at 6 a.m, Pitbull channel will keep you up. Rog, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/, that's a wonder of the modern world. Our website, Rog, meninblazers.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, The Raven. We produce that with our partner, Guinness. You can follow us on Twitter @RogBennett, Men in Blazers at Embassy Davies, on Instagram at Men in Blazers, Embassy underscore Davies. We've got a Facebook. We've got a subreddit, meninblazers.reddit.com, maintained by GFOP's Akshay, Calvin and Alex. You can send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com.
Email us suggestions of what the hell we should do this summer, what we should do with our barren lives.
What should we do?
We're just going to be kicking tires, playing street ball in Brooklyn. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
Stick ball. Vanderpunk Rog.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Take that, Gloria.
Is that your analysis?
Lean to linen.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung fu fight in America.
Love you, Rog.
Love you. And I love the 23 representatives who are going to go to Canada and win that World Cup for the United States of America.
Come on, you mothers of dragons.